and welcome to the Violin Geek Podcast. I'm your host, Laurel Thompson, and I have Canadian singer-songwriter Dan Frechette with me here today. That intro music you were hearing is a little clip from one of our tracks, which we're actually releasing today as our first single. This is an album. Our fifth album is a duo we have coming out here in January. The album's called After the Fire, and this track is called Make Me Come Alive. And we're releasing Make Me Come Alive today, actually, on all different platforms, as well as a music video. And we're going to be chatting about the song, the story behind the song, our recording of it, and just the overall album that's coming out and the story behind that. So we hope you enjoy. Hey, Dan, how's it going? It's been a few years since we had you on the podcast. Maybe six?
Yeah, we used to do these road story things. We were like driving around in BC and interviewing each other.
Sorry about that. There was nothing personal.
It's okay. I'm fine. I'm happy to be here now.
Yes, we're here. And we're putting out this album, After the Fire. So let's talk a little bit about just, I mean, maybe why it's called After the Fire for starters. For those of you who don't know, we live in the Santa Cruz Mountains on the California Central Coast. And in August 2020, we experienced a forest fire basically on our doorstep.
What happened was there was a lightning storm that happened off the coast, and I stayed up all night watching it. It was like strobe lights all night long. And I texted some friends of mine in the morning who live in Santa Cruz, and I just asked if I could bring a bunch of my equipment. So I took two carloads of gear from this little shed that I had been using for about 5 years. I recorded like 35 albums there of original material over those 5 years. And it was a really nice little kind of place I could just go, a little hub I can hang out in and record drums and bass and all that stuff. So I wound up bringing everything out of there, and just because I had a gut feeling about it. And sure enough, a few days later, we were evacuated, and I knew it was only a matter of time before we just didn't know what was going to happen. So we had about maybe 3 days of nail biting and found out that the shed that I'd been recording in had burned down, that we had recorded actually the very beginnings of this album. We'd started recording it in July last year. And then what happened was we had to finish the album when we were at a accessory dwelling unit that a friend gave us to stay in. We were evacuated for like a whole month. So we wound up recording finishing the vocals and spending an awful lot of time doing finishing touches. And it turned out great. I'm really glad that we had that space to do it. And a lot more could have gone wrong. There's friends of ours who lost their homes, and, you know, there's a lot to be grateful for. So we came out on the good end. I'm really grateful that we did come through it.
It was definitely very close. And for those of you who are not familiar with the weather patterns in California, and you're hearing, oh, a lightning storm. Well, we get those all the time. And there are a lot of lightning storms in a lot of places, and it just happens quite frequently in the summer. But in California, it's something that is quite rare. And almost all the time, it sparks a wildfire. So we've had a lot of fires around California, particularly up north this past summer. They were hit with a lightning storm that was supposed to sweep through our area again, and we were just all completely PTSD, thinking about, oh no, it's all going to happen again this past summer in 2021. But it went north instead, and sure enough, some of my students who live up that way, they were evacuated. And anyhow, it's definitely something that doesn't happen very often in California, and we hope it just doesn't happen at all, because we would have been fine. I mean, it gets dry here, but we would have been fine without that. It was, yeah, I've lived here pretty much my whole life, and everyone I know who's lived here for a long time, they all just said, we've never seen anything like that before. So anyhow, it was definitely an interesting situation, and you know, you're just kind of going about your business, and then we had this heat wave, and because of the lightning storm, it knocked out our power for a few days. So up here, we also don't have any sort of like cell reception or anything, and we had just been recording our album and thinking, okay, you know, let's do this. We don't know when we're going to get back to touring or anything, and then very quickly, sort of right as we were wrapping up, as Dan said, this whole experience transpired. And we thankfully got all the tracks out and most of Dan's studio equipment. Some of it unfortunately did burn, but we got all the instruments. And I think that's one really exciting thing about this album, since we were able to do it all at home and we had the time to really put together the arrangements. We were able to record all these other instruments that we don't normally play with us. We don't normally take with us when we're touring. So in addition to the violin and acoustic guitar, I also played viola and cello, and Dan played drums and bass and piano.
Yeah, there was a keyboard that was at the accessory dwelling unit. And I remember thinking, well, this thing sounds pretty good. We just put it on the album.
Yes.
I'm not a great pianist or anything. I'm just, I just ham and egg it. I'm playing basic piano, but it's nice to have in there. You know, it's a sound.
Something to add in there. Yeah. And of course, harmonica. And I think he played a little bit of a few other instruments in there.
Lap slide and stuff like that.
Some electric guitars too, I think. Some bass.
And, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we mentioned that. Anyhow, it was definitely an interesting time. And when we were thinking about naming the album, it just seemed like, you know, it was so close to not happening. I mean, if Dan hadn't had that intuition to take all of our stuff out when he did, we really wouldn't have had time to get any of it. Because what happened when we finally got the evacuation notice, we'd been checking online for, a couple hours. We had just gotten our power back on and we got our internet and everything back. And then we're seeing that this fire that seemed like it was pretty far away at the time, like 10 miles or something, like relatively far, was suddenly on our doorstep, basically. And there was about an hour where people were trying to decide if it was going to go into the valley below us or stay up on the ridge. And a lot of people were betting that it was going to sweep down into the valley, which would have actually been probably more terrible, sad to say, because there's a lot more folks living down there. But then in the end, it was just like in the course of maybe a half an hour, it swept up onto the ridge and it was just burning right towards us. So we just had to evacuate right away. It was, within what, 45 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah, of sort of.
Our place almost lit on fire too, but some firefighters from Humboldt were putting out my shed, basically wound up being positioned in time to see a small ember had landed on the deck where we live. And that deck, it was like a good 30 feet probably that the ember flew. And it could have literally lit our, because at that time of the year, everything was bone dry. Like the deck was dry. Everything was so dry that you could probably look at it long enough and it would ignite. So, along with the whole entire smoke in the air, like I think our AQI, which is the index for reading the air quality, was six times the healthy amount. It was like 600 or something at the time. And I'm surprised anybody was even able to stay behind to do these, you know, sort of like almost renegade firefighting tactics, which they did.
Yeah, unfortunately, at the time there was a lot of there were a lot of fires happening around California, so the professional teams were pretty much all tied up with other fires, and so it ended up being a lot of just homeowners and their family and friends who ended up staying behind, or they ended up somehow sneaking back in and saving a lot of the homes that were saved. And we decided to name the album after the fire. Because of all of this, but also because when we were looking back over all the songs that we'd already chosen, some of the songs written as far back as 1993, in Dan's case, a couple songs that he wrote way back when he was, what, a teenager at that point?
Yeah.
Early 20s? Something like that. And then some of the songs were written in 2020. But we were looking at all the songs and we were noticing that all of the songs had kind of this theme of overcoming something and needing to put faith in something to kind of pull you through. So in the case of Make Me Come Alive, putting the faith in love and maybe like a new relationship. So we can kind of segue into that as our as the single that we're releasing today, as well as a music video. And we'll talk a little bit about the video, but first, Let's talk a little bit about the song itself and just the writing part of the song, and we can talk about the production in a moment. But Dan wrote this song, and tell us a little bit about it.
Well, I was out in Germany, and this was back in 2002, and there was a girl I was dating named Evelyn Schirm. You know, we met in Winnipeg probably about a month or two before I went to go and see her out in Germany. I was really smitten and wrote a lot of songs, actually, inspired by her and my time in Germany. It was a really cool time to go there. So I stayed there at her place with her parents, and it was really inspiring. I had a classical guitar. It's all I had was this beater classical guitar that I wore a hole in it, like Willie Nelson kind of thing. It was a kind of guitar that the strings were kind of splatty and loose. And most of the songs I wrote around the time were really strummy, like strummy songs. And so, of course, playing the F sharp minor chord and then going to the A chord and really digging into the guitar. I remember just coming up with this groove. And I've heard the groove before. I mean, I would say probably of all the bands I've heard and all that, it's inspired a lot by Rolling Stones and just the vibe of Keith Richards, you know, who's one of my heroes of rhythm guitar. And then when the lyrics came to me, I was thinking about Evelyn and about how, you know, it was all new. And I felt like, hey, it's so cool. You know, I feel like this isn't like all these other relationships I might have had in the past. You know, I wasn't feeling all the doubts that I normally felt, and I wasn't being made to feel the doubts, I guess. But there was an awful lot of good vibes and excitement that went into the words. And I remember just really liking how at that time I'd really locked in on this whole idea of how the lyric rhythm is kind of king with a lot of songs. It's what makes them tick. You don't even have to have necessarily much of a melody. If you got a really funky lyric rhythm, the melody will take care of itself, right? You could put it like on Another One Bites the Dust. You can throw any melody on that you want. It's going to rock because it's a really cool, it's almost like a tribal drum beat, right? The words become a beat. So that song is a lot like that too, where I was thinking, sometimes the mojo winds up being in the lyric rhythm. And then the chords followed suit. And Evelyn liked the song. It was cool. She dug it. And then I didn't really play it much out there in Germany. I was so busy writing. And then when I went back to Winnipeg, I played it in a band. In 2003, I played with a 6-piece rock band at one of the well-known clubs in town. And it was kind of, you know, everybody was pretty impressed, I think, by that track, that song. And so you know, when you're first writing a song, you don't know whether it's a good one or not, you know. But that was one of the, I guess, moments where I went like, hey, I think this song went over really well. So I've kept playing it and kept using it. And then when about 10 years later, I was sending out to Laurel over here a bunch of, you know, basic rhythm guitar tracks and vocals of songs I wanted to play with her when I finally met her. This was one of the songs I sent. And, you know, it was amazing because Laurel, when she did these initial overdub recordings, we still have them all. And
yeah, we should pull that one out somewhere.
Yeah, we should find it actually, because it's from 2013 and it's like we hadn't met each other yet. And basically I sent me on guitar and acoustic guitar and vocal from Winnipeg to her. And then she added all of her parts to a lot of the parts she still plays. I believe she's probably still playing the same part. And then it's just like this, you know, it's like a full arrangement. It's really set. And it's fun. And then in this case, when we make the record, the only difference with the record is that when I came in with these tracks for Laurel to record on, this time around, I went, well, I'm just going to play electric guitar because that's what I always envisioned. And I have a Stratocaster. So I went and laid down this rock guitar, the rock and roll rhythm guitar. And there's no acoustic on that track, I don't think, at all. So it's kind of neat to hear Laurel playing violin to a, you know, what's usually my acoustic guitar, but she's all, really rocking with the electric.
And definitely took it up a notch.
Especially the end, like the end, the stuff she does at the fade out is just like, whoa.
Climbing.
Yeah. And just like lots of, what is it, triplets or what were you doing?
Yeah. Lots of triplets. Yeah. I don't know if the original overdub had that. Just for those of you who don't know, you can go back to, probably 2013 and listen to some of our other podcasts or certainly check out our site and we'll have explained this story before. But so Dan's from Canada, for those of you who don't know, and he's from basically the center of Canada, so Manitoba, Canada. And in 2012, he saw a YouTube video of me and he thought that I was his friend out in BC, a girl that he knew out there who played some violin, and he thought, oh, cool, you know, she's playing violin. Anyway, so then he's like, who's this person? Because we look similar, at least in the tiny little thumbnail that you might see on the side of YouTube. So anyway, he liked what he heard from whatever he heard of my YouTube there at that time.
Loved what I heard.
Well, thank you. And so we became Facebook friends, essentially. And for about a year, we just sort of see each other float by on Facebook. And then Dan eventually decided he wanted to tour back to California and invited me to join him. So that's kind of the start of our whole story. It went well, and here we are. So, but anyway, as far as doing the overdubs, it's like I didn't want this guy coming all the way to California and being disappointed with what I would add to his songs. So I thought, well, you know, he's sending me these practice tracks, I'll just overdub myself. So basically, you know, pull them into my multi-track recording software and then record a violin and a vocal and stuff like that on top of this. And then I'll send it back to him and just, you know, make sure that he can check off these songs and feel good about them. And I remember this one just being really exciting to play something that was that rocking, really. I mean, I'd played with some different bands and stuff in the past, but this was definitely sort of taking it up to that next level, I think, as far as, I don't know, just feeling like a lot of energy. Like the song just has so much energy. You don't really have to work that hard. And I think in my part, for any of the arrangements that I was creating at that time and still to Dan's music, just want to make sure that the song, I'm not detracting from the song in my part. So I would often open up several different tracks and just sort of improvise over what he was doing and then listen back and then maybe delete everything or keep a few choice things that I felt like really could elevate the music to the next level, or, you know, trying to pick out different lyrics and work a violin part that felt like it could kind of conjure that mood, that emotion, that kind of feeling, really trying to put myself in the shoes of the character, you know, whether it's Dan or it's another character, and eventually coming up with kind of a compilation of improvisations that could just kind of piece together and really enjoy. And this one has a lot of space. I mean, I'm definitely not playing all the way through by any means, but just kind of coming and going with the violin. You know, some longer lines too. I mean, I think that it's important to recognize that it's not always fast notes that are the most compelling or the most exciting. Like sometimes you can do a lot with dynamics. I think in the beginning, the double stops I start with and some slides and stuff, you know, just kind of mirroring a little bit of what he's doing on guitar.
Yeah. So I mean, on that song, I recorded a rhythm Stratocaster guitar and I overdubbed another guitar and it was just kind of like notes and stuff. And I knew Laurel's arrangement well. So the cool thing about it was I knew when to not play the lead that I was doing on my Strat, all these little riffs and stuff I added.
Because you'd recorded all of that before I even
came exactly.
In.
And then she came in on a day, I think it was like 90-something 5 degrees outside.
Yeah.
And we were standing around in the shed and almost fainting. And she's standing, right? Like Laurel always stands when she records. And so her violin bow is almost hitting the ceiling of the shed. And it was like really, and I had the mic set on the little mic stand as high as it could go.
I think you were about to faint. It might have been the day that we basically had to call it quits because Dan was losing it.
Yeah, and I think there was like at least, I think about three quarters of the recording at that point. And then when we carried on in Santa Cruz, once we were evacuated to the new place that we had about a quarter of the recording left to do, like vocals.
Mostly it was just, like, yeah, that. At that point it was just vocals. I think
you did viola too, I think.
Yeah, a few things, yeah, mostly of mine were recorded not in the shed, in this kind of granny cottage that we were evacuated to. I mean, thank God our friends, it was all perfect. They messaged us. They're like, it looks like it's getting really bad where you guys are. Like, you don't have to stay until you're evacuated. Like, just come here. And then we were trying to decide. And then within an hour, we got the evacuation. So we're like, okay, yes, we're coming. Thank you. But anyway, yeah, I did all my vocals in that granny cottage and shack in the back, they were calling it, at the shack in the back. And then a little bit of the violin. And yeah, I think a little bit of the viola and cello were there too. But a lot of it was back in Dan's studio there. Hey everyone, it's just me for a moment here. I wanted to interject this little interlude, and what you were hearing was that rough recording that Dan sent me. This is just the guitar track, and I found the overdub, so I wanted to share that as well. So what you're just hearing was just bare bones, just the acoustic guitar, what I heard before I created my part, kind of the rough canvas, right? And then here is the violin track that I came up with before Dan and I had met. It was back in 2012, I believe, possibly early 2013. So as you can hear, the part is there, the violin part anyway. The guitar part is there. I think he changed a little bit, made it a little bit more fancy going into the electric guitar for this version that you're going to hear at the end of the podcast, our new single. But it's just sort of interesting to see the progression over time. And of course, the audio quality isn't as good. This is a rough track that, you know, I'm sure we did a little bit in the way of EQing and reverb, but you know, not a lot. We weren't anticipating putting that out to anyone other than ourselves. But what was interesting is we put this, I just remembered this after Dan and I had spoken earlier, and I just remembered that we had put this track out on SoundCloud, and somehow someone had downloaded it or something, and we, you know, were searching Google and stuff, seeing about how our tour promotion was going or whatever. And one day we saw that it was being sold on like all of these, I think in China or somewhere in Asia, it was being sold on these kind of their versions of iTunes or whatever at the time. And we had to write some emails or something to just get the track back. And it's just, it wasn't meant for the public. I mean, you know, we're putting it on SoundCloud. So I suppose we didn't mind that someone were to listen to it, but it wasn't like something we wanted people to buy, and certainly not from someone other than us. So yeah, I just remembered that that was the track, which we thought, huh, well, I guess it was a winner. Someone wanted to download it and go and sell it for themselves. But yeah, we didn't have any part in that. So anyway, it all worked out. And the track is now complete. So if people do want to download it, they're welcome to. But thankfully, we would be getting some compensation, I hope, from that. So anyhow, we'll get back to the interview with Dan. But I just wanted to interject that little tidbit and those snippets since I was able to locate them. And then as far as the video goes, we did that this year. And I was trying to think about sort of like a loose storyline. I mean, did you really like feel yourself as this character in Make Me Come Alive?
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting because I never really thought of it as I'm breaking out of my suit and jumping into a rock and roll.
rock and roll band.
Because I already am rock and roll. I was going to be rock and roll right from the get-go, but I saw how that could benefit as far as an entertainment point of view, as a video. So of course I, you know, I lived it and I went in that zone. I mean, I have a nice suit. I'm not a business kind of guy, a business suit kind of guy, but I could definitely get into that type of mindset, especially when it comes to playing a role and showing an interesting side of how some might interpret the song.
So that's the thing about songs too, right? I mean, even though, and if you don't know anything about what we're talking about, we will have the link to this video.
Yeah.
So you'll be able to check it out. But basically, Dan plays this character who is a businessman. And there's this girl that kind of catches his eye, and she's handing out flyers for presumably a show that she's going to be playing in. And all of the footage we took around the Santa Cruz and Monterey areas in California.
We were at the boardwalk, at the beach boardwalk.
You'll see a lot of familiar sights if you've ever been here, or maybe see some sites that you want to come visit someday. It's definitely a really nice area. But anyhow, it's basically, you know, make me come alive. So he's kind of down about his job, or just feeling like kind of inhibited. And then towards the end of the video, I mean, we don't want to give it all away, but he comes alive. He comes alive. And it was a fun video to put together, and definitely stretched my abilities as a video editor and sort of a producer and stuff. But yeah, we hope you'll check it out. That is now released as well. So it's just kind of all out there. We are doing a pre-order right now too. So if you're interested in checking out more than this song and would like to perhaps buy a physical signed copy of the album, or you'd like to get a digital download, those are all possible via our website, danandlaurel.ca. It's DanandLaurel. And we'll have that all in the show notes.
So I guess in addition to Make Me Come Alive and giving people a whole, you know, sort of like teaser on that song, the rest of the album, which I think is pretty cool, there's, you know, one thing that a lot of people talk to us about, and, you know, something that we're definitely interested in is having a lot of variety. So every song on the album has its own kind of signature sound. They sound like Dan and Laurel songs, but then there's this variety going on. So, you know, Make Me Come Alive is a great way to introduce people, you know, to this album. And then that's why it's the first track on there. And then after that, it goes into a pretty nice, like, if I don't know if many people there still listen to albums. A lot of people probably just want to hear one song or whatever. But the way we sequenced it, and the way that the album flows, and the way our music flows, it goes through all of these different styles and feels and grooves, and it's pretty nice from start to finish, I think, the way it runs
as an album. There's a little bit of sort of jazziness and gypsiness to it. There's a little bit of
12 string folk,
I suppose, maybe, yeah, like almost like a Celtic feel or a folk feel or folk rock perhaps. There's a little bit of almost one track, almost a bit of a country feel. It's really, yeah, if you like acoustic music, or not even necessarily acoustic music.
Just like roots-based.
But yeah, roots-based music, and certainly violins. And I really enjoyed on a couple tracks being able to layer like a string quartet sound, and really go all out. I think, yeah, a lot of people will like this. And of course the harmonies and vocals. And again, just this idea of after the fire, this sort of message of hope. And whether, you know, that's a physical fire or, you know, the fire of this pandemic. I mean, we were in lockdown when we were recording this, and then ousted from our house. And, you know, we have no idea when we'll be able to get back to touring. And it's all just sort of hinging on all of these little things that have to come together, right? And so there's that faith, like putting our faith in something. We all have to always put our faith in something to get through. And whether it's each other, community, ourselves, you know, our resilience in the face of these things.
Our instruments.
Sure, our instruments, our creativity. We really hope that the album can kind of take flight and grow some wings and mean things for people that maybe, you know, just because a song meant something to us, it doesn't mean that that's the be all end all, I suppose. And that's kind of, I guess, what we were talking about in Make Me Come Alive with the video. You know, it's like there's so many ways to interpret these songs. And there's a couple songs that were written before the pandemic, and yet someone could easily listen to the lyrics and think, oh, they wrote that about the pandemic, about some of the feelings that we might have had, and I think we all had, like this song called Together Again. You know, we just kind of are looking forward to that time of being together again. So anyhow, we hope you'll check all of this out. And again, you can head to our website, danandlaurel.ca, to pre-order. The album will be released on January 21st, 2022. And we will have a link to this track, Make Me Come Alive, as well as the music video for Make Me Come Alive in the show notes. And we'll be listening to the track in its entirety here in just a moment. But until then, I wanted to just wish everyone happy holidays yet again, and happy practicing.
Heaven bound.